This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 30 of the Leadership Collective podcast. I'm Rob Sabato, and along with my co-host Ted Leavenworth, we count it a privilege that you would take the time to join us on this podcast.
The goal of this podcast is to serve pastors and leaders with practical insights into every area of your leadership journey. And our goal this year is to bring you at least one episode every month aimed at encouraging you and equipping you to lead well in 2024. Some of the episodes we have planned for 2024, really exciting, Rob, understanding your church's seasons of momentum and creating effective on-ramps and off-ramps. Man, there's a wealth of information in that one to explore. Another show we're putting together is finding the balance between pastoring and politics.
Yeah, election year.
Yeah, so we'll take that mild issue. Another show, which may or may not be related to that second show, is leadership pain. And we're going to be looking at the unique pains of leading in ministry context. Another show we're going to be doing is creating a value-driven culture, and we'll be exploring the nuts and bolts of that, as well as developing leaders versus hiring leaders. Are we going to get people that assembly is required, or are we going to get some people that are products that you can just plug in? And as well, another show, identifying the boundaries of your lane. This is where we identify what Hebrews 12:1 describes as the race marked out for us. Every one of us has a race that's unique to us. And so identifying those boundaries is tricky sometimes.
And yeah, that's a huge topic. And Ted, one episode that I'm super excited about will be on the subject of integrity in the life of a leader. And one of our guests for that show is going to be Sean Morgan. Sean hosts the Leaders in Living Room podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And he's also the president or the founder of the Ascent Leader and has just completed a course with Carrie Newhoff called The Art of Pastoral Succession. This guy is just huge in the way of leadership, has a ton of great guests on his show all the time. And so I'm super excited to have Sean as our guest on our show. And Sean was really the inspiration in the topic that we're discussing today, which is leadership cohorts. Yeah. And leadership cohorts are really designed to bring together a small group of 6 to 8 senior pastors several times a year for a few days at a time to strengthen and encourage one another through collaboration and discussion that are centered around areas that we're struggling in, areas that we want to grow in. And so it focuses on times of teaching, times of admonishment, times of waiting on the Lord in prayer and worship, and times of just having fun and laughter together.
Right.
And so I'm excited today to be talking
really
about
looking forward to getting into that.
Cohorts. And so I just recently finished my first cohort year with a group of guys, and Ted is in the midst of his first cohort year with a group of guys. And so we've invited both of us, one of the guys that are from our cohorts, to join us today on the program. Well, joining us today is Joe Tata, the pastor of Calvary Chapel Pomona Valley, and Kyle Curry, the pastor of the Table Fellowship in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hey, why don't you guys take a few minutes and just tell us a little bit about yourselves and maybe your ministry background, where you're pastoring now, and maybe how long you've been there. Joe, why don't you start for us?
Sure. So I was born into a musical family. My dad was an evangelist / singer, and we were born in New Zealand. So we traveled around all of New Zealand, and then we were kind of like gypsies. We traveled from New Zealand to Australia, ministered in Australia for a long time, and then we landed in the States when I was about 11 years old. At about 21 years old, I started reconnecting with the Lord, started attending Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, got involved with the worship ministry there. And then I was offered a invitation to come and be the staff worship leader at Calvary Chapel Pomona Valley in 2003, which was the same time, you know, around about the same month. I was offered that position in, I think, it started in August, and I got married in July. And so it really was a cornerstone in my life, because I became this worship leader for this church, and I just met my, you know, me and my wife just began our journey together. And it was wonderful. It was like a dream come true. I've had the pleasure of ministering at the same church for the last 20 plus years now. I was the worship leader there for many years, and then I became the lead pastor in 2012, and I've been that ever since. And it's been a roller coaster, but also a tremendous blessing.
Very cool. About you, Kyle?
Well, I guess my ministry experience started back with Pastor Ted when he planted Reliance Church in 2007. My wife and I were high school sweethearts and got married in 2007, and we started attending this home Bible study, and I didn't realize that it was a church. I just figured it was like a home group or something, and so we started going, and that kind of wet my palate, if you were, for ministry, and so I started serving in the youth ministry. It was like four or five kids at the time, and then I got basically tricked into taking over the youth ministry and barely walking with the Lord. But, you know, as church plants go, you're a warm body, you're in. And so started serving in the youth ministry. And then that was in 2008. And then I came on staff part-time and then full-time in 2011 with Ted at Reliance. And then I've got my wife and I have been married now for 16 years. We've got three kids. And then in the January of 2020, my family and I moved from Temecula, where I was pastoring with Ted, to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, to plant a church. And, you know, that's been exciting. So we planted in, we actually dodged a COVID bullet. We didn't have to deal with all the stuff that you guys had to deal with during COVID, because we didn't have a church. We just started a Bible study, and, like, you know, I didn't have to deal with, you know, close, open, all that stuff. And it wasn't until September of 20 that we actually started meeting in our home. And then December, Christmas Eve, 2021 was our first official service. So we've been going just over 2 years now. And yeah, it's been going good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and, you know, another cool thing, like a potential church merger going on with you right now, and at the very least blessing another struggling church in your community, and they've reached out to you, and you've been able to provide some leadership for them and kind of steadying that church. So anyway, doing a great job there in Murfreesboro, bro.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been good. Thanks.
So, Rob, this whole idea about a cohort, how did you cook that up? Where did that come from?
Well, one of my favorite podcasts, besides this one, is Leaders in Living Rooms, hosted by Sean Morgan, who I'm so excited is going to be on our podcast this year. But Sean leads, he's the founder of a group called The Ascent Leader, and they do these things called leadership cohorts. And so they would advertise these all the time on the episodes. And I remember listening several times and thinking, man, I want to go to one of those. And but then I kind of put it out of my mind, and then I'd listen to another episode a month or so later, and they'd advertise it again, and I'd be like, oh, I really want to go to one of those. And a couple times I even checked into, you know, where it was going to be and who was leading it, and just didn't feel like it was a right fit for me. And then about maybe 6 months went by, and I was driving down the freeway listening to the episode. The ad came on. And I thought to myself, man, I really want to go to one of those. And it was right at that moment that wasn't audible, but it was one of those very strong God speaking to my heart. And he just said, I don't want you to go to one of those. I want you to do one of those. Yeah. And I thought, I have no idea, you know, what that means or what that looks like or how I would even do it. But I called a few of my friends and I just threw the idea out to them. I said, "You guys think I'm crazy or do you think anybody would be interested in doing this?" And they all encouraged me, like, right. "Man, pastors need this." And so that was the birth of it. In it was in, I think, the fall of 2021 that God put that on my heart. And then we had our first group meeting with the guys that I met with in September of 2022.
Yeah.
So
I remember when you told me about it, when you started that. And for me, it, instantaneously, I thought, that's brilliant. That's amazing. And because, you know, I remember in my early days as a younger pastor, and actually it doesn't even have to be that, but when I was a young pastor, I had a profound hunger for, man, I need some mentors, you know, and I would have jumped at a chance to have something like that. Yeah. And then even when you get older, I mean, we're fortunate enough to have, you know, our relationship and a network of relationships where, you know, we have people that we can reach out to, and we actually spend, you know, you and I are, you know, geographically close enough together, we can spend time together. But I mean, that's so valuable as well, regardless of how long you've been in the ministry, to have those kind of relationships.
Yeah, you know, when I pastored in Oregon, one of the neatest things I had a chance to be a part of was this thing that John Corson did every year, where he would bring about 30 guys to the church for about 3 days. And it was just a small group of senior pastors. A lot of us were in kind of the same place in our ministry. We had just, you know, maybe three, four years into it. And I just loved being in that smaller group setting, the fellowship that came out of it. Some of those guys became some of my dear friends. And there was just a connection that you have with, you know, other senior pastors that maybe is more difficult to have at a bigger type of conference. And I love the idea in these, you know, cohorts being more like 6 to 8 guys. It's even more smaller and intimate.
Right.
And, you know, I just loved it.
I'm curious, and I want to ask both you, Joe, and Kyle, about your initial apprehension to joining the cohort when you were both invited, or your initial thoughts. But before I get there, Rob, for you, maybe you could do a little bit of service for the person who's listening right now who might say, I'm really not quite sure what a cohort is. Like, what is a cohort? What does it do? Like, what's it look like?
Yeah.
Maybe you can color that in.
Yeah. So a cohort is the idea of taking somewhere between 6 to 8 senior pastors. And that was something that I think both you and I felt very, very strongly about, was that, you know, there's something that happens when you can get together with other guys who are dealing with the same type of thing that you're struggling with. And I think, you know, senior pastors deal with unique challenges, unique warfare. And so when you can get together with a group of guys who speak your language, they know your struggle. And so in the one that I did, we decided and committed that we were going to meet together, this group of guys, there were 7 of us, including myself, that we would meet together 4 times over the course of a year for 3 days at a time. And we were going to meet in different locations, and it was a time of just really pouring into one another, talking about the things that we were struggling with. There was teaching involved, but then the teaching would just open up into conversations that would just last hours. But it also created this safe space for all the guys involved to really share their hearts and really share the things that they were, you know, struggling with and going through. And in this particular group that I did, a lot of these guys didn't know each other ahead of time, but there was a bond that was created that has continued now for going on 1.5 years, where almost weekly we are texting with one another, encouraging one another. If one of us has something that is going on, you know, we can reach out and ask for prayer, and the guys respond. I mean, I did this recently. I was going into a meeting. I texted all these guys, and I was so blessed that within minutes, almost every single one of them texted me back, praying for you, you know. And then a day later, hey, how'd that go, you know? And just having right. that type of care and encouragement for one another, but really, really aimed at helping pastors, you know, have a platform, an opportunity to be able to talk through some things, to learn from one another, to grow together, to stir up and admonish one another. That's really been what the focus yeah. of it has been.
And what I've discovered too is that each one that you do, each cohort, has its own kind of niche.
Yes.
Like your first one was guys, 10 years of ministry, was yeah. that kind of the...
Yeah, that was the criteria. Focus that God put on my heart, was that I wanted to have guys who, this was the criteria, that they would be pastoring, had only been pastoring the current church that they were at
right.
for 10 years or less. And so, you know, Joe, he was on year 10. Some of the guys were in year 2.
Right.
One of the guys was in year 1. And so that was the focus was, you know, it was all guys younger than me and guys who had been senior pastors at their current church. Like we had one guy who pastored on the mission field, then he took over a church, but the current church that he was at was much different than yeah. any church he had been at, much bigger. And he had only been there for about a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. And the group that I am still currently taking through, in fact, we're scheduled to meet in February of this year, but they're all 2 years or less.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it was funny just the way that the Holy Spirit sort of led in that.
Right.
So guys, getting back to the question, the thought, like what immediately went through your minds when you were invited, to be part of this cohort? Kyle, let's start with you.
I was excited. There was no apprehension on my end. I knew all the guys in the cohort anyways, you know, and I had a relationship with each of them. And so, being around people, is what I enjoy, you know? And so the opportunity to get together with like-minded, men that are all dealing with the same, as Rob said, dealing with the same issues and struggles and, scenarios was going to be awesome. And I was looking forward to it. And so when we met, our first one was in August, it was awesome. We just had a great time and there was no agenda, which I personally loved. We literally just sat around and we talked and somebody mm-hmm. led a little devotion and we talked ministry, practical things. It wasn't like structured in the sense of like, okay, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to give you a 20-minute sermon. And what are your thoughts on the sermon? It was like, hey, there's this situation going on in my church. How would you handle it? You know, so it's very, very practical, hands-on, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting because for me, I was probably at the other end of the spectrum where I had tons of apprehension about doing it. And just simple things like time. I had become a bit of a workaholic, and so I think all of us pastors know what it looks like to be unbalanced at times. And I was definitely unbalanced before I came into the cohort. And so for me, the idea of taking, you know, 3 days away from my regular grind, it was, you know, and to do that 4 times and committing to that, it was a hard thing to wrap my mind around because I always just felt like I was playing from behind.
Yeah.
And so there was the time piece to it, but also I was just in a really bad place at that time. Felt very isolated when I stepped into the role of being the pastor. It was out of crisis. And so I didn't really feel like I was trained for it. The senior pastor at the time, he was definitely my mentor. But when he stepped out, it was because of some very heavy circumstances. And so I felt like I lost him as a mentor in 2012. And I just stepped into being this shepherd that I didn't feel like I was ready to be. And so that led to a lot of on-the-job training, which is good and fun if you're working at In-N-Out, I guess. But we're talking about being the shepherd of people's souls. It was a heavy thing.
Right.
And it And it definitely came with a great measure of me feeling isolated. And the truth is, because I didn't have a personal mentor, I felt like the only thing I had to fall back on was just being mentored by the culture of Calvary Chapel. And the culture was, you know, it's a Moses structure. And so we want to lead in a strong way. We teach all the time and we just kind of stay busy. And it really kind of broke me from the inside, and it led to a really hard ministry year, the year of the cohort. What was that? This 2 years ago. Externally, I think we were very fruitful, but internally, I felt like I was dying on the inside. And so when Rob reached out to me and he talked to me about it, I think my initial thoughts were, yeah, that sounds good, but I'm probably not going to have time to do it. But a few things happened a couple of months before the cohort where I realized, like, whoa, I am not in a good place, and I am bleeding. I'm bleeding everywhere, and I need to go to this thing because it seems like it'd be a really needed time for me. And so that's what happened. I ended up going, laying my apprehension aside, and it ended up being one of the greatest things I was ever a part of.
Man, can you maybe just give us a couple of details of when you say it was the greatest thing that you'd ever been a part of? Like, what are some specific ways that meeting with the guys met you where you were at in your hour of crisis?
Sure.
You know what, Joe, before you answer that, because I think this would be a good lead in, tell them about the very first night, because I didn't plan this, but I ended up, as we were getting together on the very first night, and it was sort of like a meet and greet, and I chose Joe first. I said, Joe, why don't you start? Tell us about yourself. And so why don't you tell the guys about, tell everybody that's listening about that night.
Yeah, it's funny, looking back at it, me and Rob had a conversation about what made it so sweet, and we decided that the recipe to making a great cohort was to have five pastors and bring in one train wreck. In like conversation, then everybody else will be open about it. And so for me, like I said, I limped into the cohort, and so I didn't know these pastors. The only way I knew these pastors is from their highlights on Instagram, you know? And so I had been a distant admirer of Tommy Cota and Zach Vesney and even Cody King, just some of these guys that I had, I've listened to podcasts that they had given and just the wisdom that they had. And so I had this deep admiration from them, but I felt like the last 10 years is just me playing from behind, you know, learning through failure, but never really just kind of being up there with, not having the wisdom or the experience of these other guys. So I came in with a ton of apprehension that night, but I was also deeply broken. I had just come from a season of huge burnout. And so we were all sitting there and we're all exchanging pleasantries, and it was time to kind of sit down and talk. And so now we're introducing ourselves to one another, and Rob's like, so Joe, tell us about what's going on with you. What are you expecting from this night? And I broke in that moment because I realized I had needed a place to bleed, but I had not had a place to truly bleed in front of other like-minded shepherds before. Whether I wanted to bleed or not, like because I deeply cared about what these guys thought about me, but I was just so broken that it was coming out either way. Yeah. And so I began to weep and began to say things that, you know, I can barely remember the things I said other than like, guys, I just feel like, I feel like I'm in pieces right now. And I feel like the Lord is, he's broken me because I had just come off of a time of burnout where I had to, you know, we had to go before the leadership, and I had to just kind of confess just my narcissism and my workaholic kind of tendencies. And so all of that I was in the middle of. And so I just said to the guys, like, I'm a broken mess right now. I feel like the Lord's pulling me apart. And I think this is a part of him. Like, this cohort is going to be a part of him piecing me back together. And so essentially, like, whether you guys like it or not, you're going to become my friends. it was a, it, you know, it, it's wonderful because I think sometimes all it takes is a few people being brutally honest for about 60 seconds about their failures and about their struggles for a bunch of healing to start happening. And I do feel like that's a part of what happened that night is I think my brokenness allowed these other guys to realize that they could share their brokenness, and it became just a deep communion, a deep fellowship of suffering. I felt like it was. So it was great.
You know, what's interesting to me about that, Joe, is I think we've all been in settings where somebody might share something heavy like that, and then like there's a silence and everybody just kind of sits there and no one knows how to respond. But I loved how much, you know, in that moment, the guys didn't repel from you, but they leaned into you. And I think that was really the start in the beginning of, you know, the God, what God did and why it was so special. And so as I'm planning a new cohort for this year, I'm looking for the train wreck guy.
Yeah. You probably won't have to look very far.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say that's one of the things, you know, people are people wherever you go, you know, when you're on the mission field and you're meeting people of other cultures and you realize we have so much more in common than not. And as senior pastors, we are a unique culture, certainly. And I think anytime somebody really honestly shares where they're going through, I'm like, who of us can't relate to various things like that?
Yeah, and that compassion.
The people, at least for me, and it sounds like this was true for you, but you don't realize that you need it until you have it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, okay, this is what I was missing. Yeah. Or this is what I have been praying for, but not in those words. You know, I've been asking for community. I've been asking for a place to, like you said, bleed, a safe place to bleed, you know, and we don't know how to pray those things, you know, right. And Romans 8 tells us that, you know, the Holy Spirit will intercede in our behalf. And I feel like those cohorts can be that Holy Spirit interceding and praying in those utterances that we can't even understand. And it's when you get around other people that know that, they've all gone through or going through similar things, and they can just sit there with you. You know, in our cohort, we had a guy that was just going through a really rough time with various leaders in his church, kind of burning him, you know, and him and his wife were just broken. And they said, we didn't know that we needed this. And now we know what we needed, you know? And so it was very encouraging to them. So anyone who is listening that may be thinking about joining one, but you're like, I don't know, I would say, go for it. You know, Joe had no idea he needed it, and then he got it. And then, man, what a healing thing it was. That's cool. Yeah.
And, you know, I'd love for both of you to kind of drill down on this a little bit because, you know, Kyle, you said something to me really interesting when you said, you know, you didn't know that you needed it. And I think as pastors, you know, we've heard so many times over the years how being a pastor, especially a senior pastor, you know, it's a lonely profession. And I think there's a sense in us where we just kind of accept that, like, this is the way it's supposed to be. And so it's really, really hard, I think, to, you know, find those key relationships in your life. But then at the same time, sometimes I think it's easy just to accept it's not going to happen. And yet there's that yearning inside of your heart for it. So can you guys expound on that just a little bit more on, you know, that idea of, you know, feeling like, you know, I didn't know that I needed this, but I knew I needed something, or however you would say that?
Yeah. I think for, you know, I think a general rule is that our brokenness needs, it demands to be attended to. Mm. And we're going to get it, you know, we're going to try and tend to it in numerous ways. But for me, I felt like I think a lot of it is just the individual themselves. You know, I listen to Kyle, and, you know, I thank the Lord for Ted and for Kyle. They had this great relationship, deep relationship before, deep friends, deep friendships before. But I felt like the way I came to ministry, I, you know, the only kind of fellowship I really knew were these like luncheons that we would have once a quarter, where I'd see a bunch of, you know, a bunch of wounded dudes who, who wouldn't really say that they're wounded. And I, once again, I felt like I was kind of limping into those things, but it's hard to get, it's hard and it's actually really weird to get deep over a 15 to 20 minute lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and really, you know, like we know what it's like when people get super deep in those short conversations that we have. It's like, ooh, is that guy okay? I felt like, you know, the luncheons and the pastors' conferences that I was attending over that decade of ministry, I never really felt safe sharing just deep struggles about, like, you know, the kind of things that it takes some time around people. Feel like you even want to talk about these things, like deep things, like a sense of inferiority to the old pastor who left. Like I didn't want to. Those things are hard things to say to people that I barely met. Like, hey, can you pray for me because, you know, the old pastor who left is just so good at all of these other things, and I just weak at these things. And so, you know, what did those meetings look like for me? I was bleeding and in pain. And then somebody at a luncheon would ask me, Joe, are you doing okay? And I'm like, I'm fine.
Well, that was pretty much our culture too.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. For all of us, we had that similar culture.
I would say, like, relationships, they don't happen by accident either, you know, yeah. And pastors are really bad at being shepherded. You know, yeah. they're good at shepherding and they'll insert themselves in other people's mess because they see the need in that person's mess, but they don't allow themselves to have someone else be or to insert into their life, you know? And so, especially senior pastors, and I speak to your experience, right? So take that for what it's worth, but I've been in ministry long enough to know that, you need to let others in. You know, and it's, I preach it from the pulpit, like our three core values at our church: accountability, community, and discipleship, you mm-hmm. know, and they're all three connected, and you can't have accountability, unless you have community, and you can't have community unless, you know, there's this end goal to be discipled, to be more like Jesus. And so that's not just true of my people. That's true of me, you know? And so I need to allow myself to be pastored, but who's going to do that? The congregation? No, it's going to be other pastors, you know, and so cohorts and things like this are going to be the avenue because we are different than the regular congregant. You know, we have to go seek out those relationships. And oftentimes a lot of senior pastors are really, really, really bad at that. And so something that Ted used to always say to me is, you don't know what you don't know. And I was like, what are you even talking about? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, you know? And then, like, doesn't even make sense. And then you start pastoring the church from the lead position. And you're like, oh yeah, I didn't, you know, it's like, I didn't realize I needed this, you know, cohort. Yeah. I didn't realize I didn't know this, or I didn't know what I didn't know. And I can't even put words completely around it, but I understand it now. Much better than I did before I was in the position of the senior leader.
Well, it's a little bit like pre-marriage counseling, right? Because, you know, we're just talking theory to people. We tell them all the stuff and it's just theory to them. And then you start doing it and then you realize, oh, I wish I would have paid closer attention on this one or whatever it is. But yeah.
Every time I do premarital counseling, I tell the young couple, you know, those times are coming when, you know, they're going to be, you know, not on the same page and they're going to be fighting, they're going to irritated at one another. And I've had some of them, they just smile at me. And I know what they're thinking, like, that's not going to be us, you know? And I think the same thing happens with pastors.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to crush this, I'm going to kill this, you know, and then they find themselves in the midst of something that they, like you said, what's the saying? You don't know.
You don't know what you don't know until you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So Rob, I'm curious structurally how, you know, you organized your cohort with four times and so on. And remind me, because I don't want to forget, you know, the conversation you had with your board and that whole dynamic of it. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So why did we meet four times? I have no idea. but that was just really what God put on my heart.
Right.
I think the next time around, I'm going to do three times a year. But we met four times, and I didn't know what each one of the gatherings was going to be like. until after we had the first one. But going into the first one, as I had had conversations with all the guys who were going to be in it, one thing that kept coming up was that they, all were struggling and dealing with leadership issues and just wanting to get insight on how to be a better leader, and had a lot of leadership questions concerning their church. And so I ended up asking, one of my friends, Ed Taylor, who is just so great in leadership, to come and join us. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do in mine, was I wanted to each time, except for the last time that we met, bring in another pastor who could share along with myself some insights. And so the first one centered around that, and felt like, each of these guys really, were struggling in that area. And any thoughts, Joe, on how that, that first time was with Ed?
Oh, yeah. They were all like a godsend for me. I felt like everything that we spoke on was, every time we met, it was exactly what I had been just longing to grow in. And so the first one about practical leadership, I have certain gifts, but the gift of administration and how to be a good leader, those are the things that I'm still growing in. And so just spending time with Ed, who, it just feels like he breathes out God's wisdom. It was so rich. One of the things he said to me the first night, after crying and just having that space of healing, and then getting the wisdom that I got from Ed the first night, I could have been happy to go home and just be like, all right, I'm good. One of the things he said to me that has been quite game-changing for our leadership culture is he said, Joe, give your best to those who are closest to you. Speaking of, like, be a pastor to your pastors. And that was huge for me.
That's wise counsel.
For me is to make sure that my pastors are well trained, well loved, and well taken care of, and our effectiveness can multiply through that. And so that one was phenomenal. For me, I think the second one was the most uncomfortable for me, because that's where Pastor Rob brought in a wonderful, wonderful guy by the name of Rob Verdine, who's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so the whole theme of that one was the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to the Spirit, which was, I had become so accustomed to being very schedule oriented and very, very text oriented and very message oriented, outline oriented in my pastoring, that the whole idea of creating space for the Spirit to move was kind of a foreign concept. And so that was really uncomfortable, but it ended up being, out of all of our gatherings, it was the most transformative one for me.
Yeah. And I think that was the case for many of the guys. I mean, some of the guys used the term after that second one on, they felt like born again, and there was a sense, I think, where, many of them, it felt like, and their eyes were open, that they had become a little bit too structured,
right,
and had gone away from what I think has been a part of our, Calvary Chapel, movement, is that the two things were, we teach the Word of God, but we're open to the Holy Spirit. And so that was something that God was doing in my own life, had been doing over a number of years. And I had just come from a conference that I spoke at up in Oregon that Rob Verdine's church hosts, and had a chance to see him minister in that way, and was really moved by it. And then what was interesting during that particular gathering, there was a lot of conversation that ended up centering around family and guys having questions about family.
Right.
And so one of the guys in the cohort, Zach Vesney, had a connection with John Mark Comer's dad, Phil Comer, and Phil has a ministry that really centers around ministering to pastors and their families. And so we reached out to Phil, and you know, Phil came and joined us for that one, and we had some great conversations around family. And so it just kind of went on, you know. And then the only thing that really I think the Lord had put on my heart was for our very last one. I did that one myself, and the whole theme of it centered around the idea of finishing strong. That was kind of what I felt like I wanted to do, you know, in part. You know, I've been doing this now at the current church I'm at for 27 years, just started my 28th year. I pastored another church for 5 years before that, and I feel like I'm in the crux of, you know, probably have a good 10 years left and aim to finish strong. And
praise
so
the Lord, right.
I had some things on my heart that I want to do in part to, you know, these guys and have conversation about. So that was kind of the way we structured, you know, ours. And
and geographically, where what's the rough
region
where your guys were in this last group?
We had three guys that were from Southern California. We had one guy from Northern California, one guy from Nevada, and one guy who started in Colorado, and then 5 months after our first meeting, he ended up transitioning out of his church and is now going to be planting a church in Florida. Right. And so we had Nevada, Colorado, Florida, and then Northern California, and then Southern.
Right. And it's interesting because you had, what was that, six guys. in your group, and it was just exclusively the guys. Did you ever get a chance to get the wives together?
We are going to do that this year. That's one of the things that we've talked about, is that we want to have a gathering this year where we bring all the wives together. I know you're doing that on your next one, aren't you?
Well, we do one on everyone. So, like with our group, it's the husbands and the wives.
Okay.
And it's a little tricky. We got a couple of guys from Tennessee, one guy from Georgia, one guy from Kansas. And their kids.
Wow.
We tell them, because, and Texas. Oh, you're right. We got a couple from Texas. So that's our group. And so, you know, originally the idea was let's meet Central U.S. Because these are all, you know, again, it's the different ingredients. Like, you know, this wouldn't be the case with you for guys that have been in ministry. For the most part, they're settled enough that they're able to carve out time to get away.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ahead of myself here because I want to come back to this, but how you structured being able to provide the venue for the guys, that's we'll come back to that. But so anyway, we were, for my group, it was young families, young church planters, not a lot of means. And so, you know, our thought was, okay, let's provide the place that's centrally located.
Right.
So we did that, although we're bringing them to California for our next one, and everybody's excited about coming out for that. But yeah, I guess that would be a good point to... Because I kind of took a page from you, several pages from you, in terms of the cohort, our cohort structure. The difference is yours exclusively guys, mine husbands, wives, and young kids involved, so bring your kids. We actually pulled it off, and it worked out really good, and we're going to do that next time as well.
When you had your meetings, was it the men and women together, or did they really?
Yeah, okay. Husbands and wives together, and super fruitful, just amazingly fruitful. So, and you know, again, everyone's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah,
I've got one I'm putting together currently in Spain.
Wow.
That's going to be one of my next ones, and that also is going to be husbands and wives. Hmm. And then,
am I going to that one?
Yeah. Sure, Kyle.
My Spanish.
Okay. Yeah, right. I've experienced you in your Spanish. Let's explain, Rob, how you approached your board and that whole conversation about financing this.
Yeah. So one of the things that I felt like was I wanted to make it very, very easy for these guys to be able to come. And I know, you know, some of the guys were in churches where, you know, they would be able to afford to do this. But there were other guys who it would have been a little bit more, you know, of a struggle. And so I asked my leadership team, our board, if they would fund this in the way of if we had to rent a place. So, you know, we did two Airbnbs that we met in, and then if they would fund all the food, and if they would also, if I was going to bring in somebody, you know, would they help fund that as well? And then two of the times that we met was at the house of a guy in our church who has this vacation home on this private lake out in the desert. And so that, for me personally, that was my most favorite place that we met. It was just such a peaceful, fun, you know, setting. And I wanted to have a fun component to what we were doing.
Yeah.
So every single day there'd be something that we could do. And so that, you know, the lake afforded opportunity for wave runners and paddle boarding. And then also he had, you know, dune buggies and things like
right.
that. Joe almost got killed by Cody King on a dune buggy ride. But I basically said to them this, I said, guys, here's what I want to do. I want us to invest in six pastors. And these six pastors, if you were to take their all six of their congregations, it would amount to a group of people that they're ministering to that combined is over 4,000 people. And so the thought was, is if we could pour into six guys and strengthen six guys, we would be indirectly ministering and pouring into four or six different churches.
Right.
And so I decided that for that whole year, I wasn't going to do anything on the mission field, that this was going to be kind of my mission field. And so would these, you know, would our church fund this? And so overall, I think it was around 13 grand that it took us to pull, you know,
right.
that off. But it was well worth the,
yeah.
you know, investment. And, you know, the guys all were real eager to, they sent the email to our leadership and shared their hearts on it. And so it was wonderful in that way.
And we did the same thing. I, you know, we decided as a church that we were going to underwrite this and that yeah. we would provide the place, the Airbnb, and the food. And then the guys just had to get themselves there.
Right.
And so that, so, the, and that, you know, worked out tremendously. It created, because, you know, again, in my group, they're all within the first couple of years of church planting,
right.
you know, and there's, you know, hey, the place is free, the food, we're going to feed you. All you got to do is get there.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, yes, please, you know, and it was just perfect timing. So, so that worked out well. But it also occurs to me, you know, in terms of the replication of this, you could do it on a budget. There's a lot of cheaper mm-hmm. ways that we
sure.
could get people together as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, quite so elaborate.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Joe, you're kind of, this kind of spurred something in your heart to do something in your area with the youth pastors, right?
Yes, yes. So it's a lot more simple than the things that we're speaking about. But one of the things that that came from this was just that idea that it seems like every pastor needs pastors, including like youth workers and things like that. Like we have the benefit of having these leadership conferences. And then, you know, back in the day, we had these old pastors conferences. But in our area, you know, the Pomona area, the LA County area, the only time the youth workers get poured into right now is just, you know, with some spontaneous meetings that they set up for themselves. But there's nothing really official or intentional. And so coming back from the cohort, it made me realize that not only is like leadership care needed, but it's also possible. And I just began to pray and just ask the Lord, with the limited resources that we have, how can we, Calvary Chapel Pomona Valley, bless these youth workers with the kind of blessings that I experienced in the cohort? And so it's beginning just with a simple like gathering that we're doing at our church in June called the Engedi Gathering. And instead of it being like a big old conference kind of thing, it's going to be a little more like a one-day cohort feel to it. We're going to have a public time of gathering, but then we're also just going to, you know, assign these guys to groups, give them a small room, and they're going to be able to meet numerous times that day. It's all going to be done in one day, but they're going to be able to meet numerous times with the same people that day, and hopefully just begin to stir up some relationships that hopefully, some friendships that hopefully can turn into relationships that hopefully can turn into just like deep, you know, arm in arm, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so like, that's the beginning of it. That's with the youth workers. And then for me, another thing that it sparked was just an urgency to minister to the pastors that are in my local area. There's a number of pastors who are in small churches that just need a friend. They need someone that is going to search out after them, because you know, I know what it's like to be a pastor in a church and busy, and like I wish I had that desire to go and find discipleship, but I didn't. And so I'm you know, after experiencing it and tasting of it, I've just become way more intentional about finding these other pastors in our local area of these small churches and going to meet with them, going to minister to them. And it's been just it's been a wonderful thing. So yeah, prayer for that youth workers gathering that's coming up would be greatly appreciated. And now we're in the process of just praying about how this can be a launching board for more.
That's great. And that was one of the things that I know was on my heart. I'm sure yours as well, Ted, is that, you know, in doing this, that it would spur some other guys and some of the guys like in the cohort to want to do this with others. And, you know, we're seeing that already. Rob Verdine, who came to ours, he started one with some guys in Oregon. And I know some of these guys that were in mine are thinking about and praying about doing one as well.
Right.
Before we kind of wrap up here, I would just love to go back to, you know, Ted's question that we didn't really answer in totality. But, you know, I'd love for both of you to just share what were some of your biggest takeaways from being involved in this, and you know, how it was beneficial to you. I know you both have shared a little bit already, but if there was just a couple of key things that you wanted to share, we'd love to hear that. Why don't you go first, Kyle?
I think you get, I was built up by just hearing other people's stories and hearing what's going on with them. And it was encouraging to see God working, not only just in Tennessee, but also in McKinney, Texas, or in Leavenworth, Kansas, you know? And so I think
I love the sound of that when town. I love that name.
Leavenworth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Heard it's really old there now.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think just being encouraged by seeing what God's doing in other places, you know, and also to Joe's point earlier, it's like when people sharing their struggles, then you're like, oh, okay, I'm not
alone. It's not just me.
I'm normal. Yeah, I'm. It's normal. And so for me, that was really, really good. And then for our group in particular, having our kids come and with the other ministry kids, oftentimes they give up a lot and they sacrifice a lot. And so for them to be included, and not only included, but thought of and done specifically for them. And my kids are so excited to come to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like cousins, you know. You get cousins together. They haven't seen each other for years, but they, you know, they get on thick as thieves. And the ministry kids the same way. You know, they're just so grateful. And yeah, so we got a place that had a pool. We were in McKinney, Texas in August. It was incredible. I'm like, have we hit our heads? We're going to. It's like an oven here. But we had a pool there at the, and it sounds glamorous. It wasn't. It actually was quite reasonable to get all the families together in this place. But the kids had a pool and we had a place to hang out, and it was, man, it was edifying. It was good.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think one of my, a few of my big takeaways, they're simple things, but I think they're tried and true. I think the first one is that pastors need to be pastored. Pastors need friends. The ministry can be, it can be quite an isolating thing at times. And I don't know, I don't think that's the way Jesus intended it to be, but no. I think that's how we have made it. And the pastoral culture can sometimes be quite isolating, like a fishbowl where everyone sees you, but no one really knows you. And so, yeah, pastors need friends. Pastors need a place to have conversations that other people wouldn't understand, high context conversations with other pastors, you know. Pastors need a place to laugh. One of the most joy-giving things for me over these four gatherings was just the amount of laughter that we had. It's like fuel for me. And so to be with these guys and just be able to laugh at our own stupidity, to laugh at our own ridiculousness, to make fun of one another, it was like being, you know what it was like for me, guys? It was like being back in like the old young adult groups where you just have a great time and just have a lot of fun. And I needed that. I felt like my soul needed that, because a lot of ministry is very, you know, it's very crisis oriented, and your meter can go down quickly. So just to be with a couple of guys where you can bleed a little bit, but then laugh at one another. And, you know, that obviously takes a little bit of time, and obviously you can't laugh with everyone, but to have that was incredibly good for my soul. And so to bleed with, to talk to laugh with, to be honest with, it was like these things. It reminded me that this is what every pastor needs, and I needed it. And I want to provide a place for other pastors to have that as well, to be that big brother pastor, to go alongside somebody and just say, hey, you know, you're not a broken toy. The stuff that you're going through, I've gone through before. And that felt like what happened last year when the cohorts, just being around guys where we all could share our common struggles. And it was very life-giving. One of the best things that has happened to me in my ministry life was being a part of the cohorts.
Mm. Man, that's a strong statement.
Yeah.
I stand by it, Ted.
Well, and don't you find too, Rob, I mean, I'm, as I'm hearing Joe talk and Kyle talk, and I'm thinking, man, I was personally edified by the time together. It was just so ministering to my heart.
Big time. It was so, you know, ministering to my heart. I got so much, you know, out of it. And, you know, some of the guys, like I've known Joe for a long time and, you know, some of the other guys I've known, but I can honestly say that I view now, you know, these six guys as six of my closest friends in ministry. And I find that, you know, whenever I'm going through something or need prayer for something, you know, I turn to these guys, you know, and so it's been invaluable, you know, for me as well. And that was, in some ways, that was a little bit of a surprise. You know, I wasn't going into it thinking necessarily that was going to be the case, But it has been, and that's been one of the things that I, you know, was really hoping after our first one, that when I started, and that was one of the reasons why I did invite some guys to join us, but because I wanted them to catch what was happening so that they would go do this in their regions, because I think this is one of the things that, you know, every pastor should be doing and be a part of, and especially guys who have been, you know, pastoring for a long time, like you and I, Ted, who have made a lot of mistakes that we can learn from, there's a wealth of, you know, information, both, you know, mistakes and victories to be able to pass on. Right. And so we need this, like you. When I was younger in ministry, I so wished I could have been a part of something like this. And I got a little taste of it with that, you know, a little bit bigger group of guys that I met with John Corson. But, you know, I think this is an incredible thing.
And I think what Joe said earlier is especially important to, you know, to note, which is the culture that he experienced where he didn't have the freedom to really open up. And I think that's a lot more common than people realize. And so if nothing else, and it's so much more, but if nothing else, just being able to have a place where you actually can open up.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, it's priceless.
Yeah.
And really kind of, I see it as, being, something that's part of the way that it edified me, mm-hmm. was to create this culture, yeah. where it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to open up.
Totally.
And this is precisely what we're called to do, is to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen. Yep. Yeah. Amen to that. Well, for anybody out there listening, I'm going to be starting up another cohort in 2024. And again, once again, I'm going to tailor it towards senior pastors who have been pastoring their current church for 10 years or less. So if that's something you'd be interested in, you can email me at robsalvato@calvaryvista.com, and I'd love to talk with you about it. And I just want to say thank you so much to Kyle and Joe for being on the show today, and love you guys, and love what you guys are doing and the impact that you're making, and pray that you guys would just find yourselves running hard and strong in 2024 for Jesus.
Amen. Love you guys too. Thanks for everything that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for having us on the show, and looking forward to our next cohort.
Right on, brother.
God bless you guys. So once again, I want to thank you for joining us on the Leadership Collective podcast. It's always a joy to have you join us. And if this podcast ministers to you, would you please share it with a friend? And we'd also love it if you would subscribe to it. That just helps us in our algorithms and just helps us know that what we're doing is making a difference. And if you would like to reach out to us with any questions or ideas for shows or topics, you can do so by emailing leadershipcollectivepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you, and have an awesome 2024.